This is Fresh Air. Our rock and roll historian, Ed Ward, has a profile of the brief career of Bobby Fuller. Back in 1966, Fuller had the hit I Fought the Law. That same year, Fuller and his band appeared in a poolside scene in the film The Ghost in the Invisible Bikini, which starred Boris Karloff, Basil Rathbone, and Patsy Kelly. Later that year, Fuller died under peculiar circumstances. He was 23.
Buddy Holly left more than his hits when he died. He also left West Texas teenagers the dream of becoming rock and roll stars. Buddy Knox, Jimmy Gilmer and the Fireballs, and many others made the pilgrimage to Clovis, New Mexico to record at the studio where Norman Petty had produced Buddy's hits. When they became stars, the next generation looked at them and dreamed. Bobby Fuller was one of them. In the early 60s, he began to make tapes in his living room and went to L.A. to sell them. But he wasn't British, so nobody cared, and he came back to El Paso to rethink things. In the meanwhile, he opened a teen nightclub, The Rendezvous, and, with his brother Randy, started a band. Let Her Dance was the Bobby Fuller Four's first hit, released on a local El Paso label, a record that sounded like what Buddy Holly's answer to the British invasion might have been. Armed with a stack of tapes, the Four went to Hollywood, and this time they found some open ears. They belonged to Bob Keane, the man who'd propelled Ritchie Valens to stardom, and he knew he was onto something when he heard a song they'd recorded that had been written by Sonny Curtis, a former member of Buddy Holly's Crickets. Fought the Law established the Bobby Fuller Four, got them a top 10 hit and a job as the house band at one of the Sunset Strip's hot nightclubs, PJ's, and after that at a teen nightclub called It's Boss. The music they were making was perfect, a blend of the best American folk rock and the British sound. Check out Another Sad and Lonely Night, for instance. But Bobby was itching for bigger things. He'd toured and wasn't happy with the way he was ignored by a lot of the kids in the clubs the band played. He'd had to record other people's stuff just to keep the records coming, and he didn't like that either. Bob Keane was concerned and finally worked out a plan for Bobby to stay in L.A. most of the time and just write and record. Things were looking good. On July 18, 1966, Bobby celebrated his new deal by going out and buying a new Corvette. That evening, his body was found savagely beaten and reeking of gasoline he was found to have swallowed. The official verdict was suicide, but I've never met anybody who believed it. The story may yet come out. A screenplay based on his life is being written. But as long as we have his records, he's never to be forgotten.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll. He also writes for the Austin Chronicle.